Hello, everybody, hey. And welcome to the Gosh Dang It podcast, episode 33. We're only a few days late. And as far as the Voltron thing goes, we are just a few weeks late on that. And that's okay. That's fine with me. Who cares about the listenership? Apparently, I don't. So that's fun. I like losing listeners. What? That's my favorite thing ever.
They'll just have to deal with us because we're worth it.
Well, finals or midterms and all that crap.
You know, blame it on the midterms.
I always do. I blame my car breaking down on midterms. I blame my inability to just go see a movie and talk about it for an hour on midterms. I blame everything on midterms.
Okay.
And I blame Stranger Things Season 2 being the worst thing ever. Just absolutely awful. I blame that on midterms, because that was terrible. I hated it.
And it's probably because you haven't even seen
it. I have not finished Season 1, so I'm one of those people. Everybody else is like, see, I'm cultured. I watch Stranger Things. And I'm just saying, I'm cultured because I didn't. You know? I mean, whose argument is more powerful? I think mine.
Okay, before the listener turns away, I want to let you know that this is actually a review, but there's just this crazy person here that's talking a lot. So, yes.
Okay, so Daniel's going to say it was really good, and then we're going to move on, and I'm going to talk about other things. So,
no.
All right, go ahead, Daniel. Tell us if you think it's really good, or, yeah, that's pretty good, or did you just like it?
The show definitely has its flaws.
It's taken a brutal twist here. It has its flaws.
What's made it a cultural phenomenon is because, you know how, like, there's movies and shows, and they do reference other things, and they reference it, like, a lot, especially, you know, it's popular to reference 80s pop culture, and that's basically what this show is, an embodiment of. It's just one huge 80s reference. And the reason why that's not a bad thing in this case, it's because in all circumstances where there's an 80s reference or there's a reference of some kind, the viewer watching it understands that it's a reference. But in the case of Stranger Things, the viewer understands it, but also the characters in the story understand it. And they also, like, catch that it is a reference and that they're living in, like, a reference, and they're going through it.
Like, they're going through Stranger Things, and they're like, wow, we are just such 80s kids. Like that?
I don't know about that to that extent, but, I mean,
wow, look at that. It's Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That was popular now. Okay. Like that?
Well, anyway,
I'm confused. I didn't watch the show, Daniel.
Okay, well, this is for people who have watched the show.
Okay, so then I'll just tune out.
You're just
going
to have to butt out, okay? This is going pretty great. I think it's overall the second season was really good. I thought by the end of the first season of Stranger Things that it was the dumbest thing for them to continue it. I'm like, they're seriously just trying to continue it because they can, and they don't actually have any good ideas or anything like that they could continue it with. But that wasn't the case, I guess. They actually had it thought out from season one that even before they finished it, they could actually continue it without it feeling like they're trying so hard to continue.
Like George Lucas's prequels. Ended.
Okay.
Exactly. Or like The Force Awakens.
Okay.
It was planned out. Like that?
Dude, if I'm going to continue...
Okay, sorry.
Video, you have to stop being so cynical.
I don't know what has happened. It's become Wreck Daniel Minute, and...
It really has, and it's really annoying.
I mean, gosh, Bob.
This episode is a gosh, Bob episode. I let you talk all you want when you review stuff.
It's a gosh, Bob episode. I'm really going to tune out. I have such a huge problem caring about Stranger Things. I don't know why.
Well, then
I'll
watch
it with you,
I
promise.
You don't have to be this in this review.
I have to talk about Voltron. I have to talk about other things, you know? I mean,
other things?
There's some important stuff.
Okay,
well, so anyways, I will actually legitimately tune out, and you can go until, like, the 10-minute mark. So you have 5 minutes left. Go.
Wow, thank you so much. And, I mean, feel free to comment anything that's actually helpful if you want to. So, I mean, the first episode opens out with, I guess, it's the characters that we've seen, but it's kind of like, I don't know if you listen to our book club episodes, but we were talking about Mistborn, and we were talking about this book and how the book continues into sequels and sequels, but what it does, it actually just, the sequels, what they do is they tell the story of the actual continuation of the events that happened previously, and like what would happen and what would actually be the effect of something like that. And they don't just try to tell a new adventure or a new story, so they go through like the pieces that the characters are in from the first season by the end of that, and what they've been through, and that there is a sense of where the plot continues and they have to do what they do again, but it's all a little bit more meta in some sense.
So are you saying like it makes like that sort of three-story arc where the first one seems sort of self-contained until the second one pops up and you realize that set in motion larger events that just like eventually concludes in the third one, but it seems like the trilogy could very easily just be the first book, or it has to be all three, I guess? The second two are more important?
I think that in the terms of the trilogy, each like season could be represented like in a book that we talked about, Mistborn. So like season one was just showing you this thing that they're trying to defeat, the Demogorgon, and what happens to that. Season two expands on that even more, but it doesn't try to like do that cliche sequel-y thing. And what happens is it actually makes season one even more important than you realize, I guess.
Right.
Which is kind of cool. And so that's what a sequel should do. It should build off the first one instead of trying to, like, you know, ruin the first one, which a lot of sequels end up doing.
Yeah, so, that's cool.
So that's why I really liked, because the moment, like, I didn't have any faith. Of course, I was, like, hyped up, but by the end of the first season of Stranger Things, I was thinking, why are they continuing this? How are they going to continue this?
Right, because there are only two ways that sequels can go. And the first one is, it makes the story from the first one less important because they try to raise the stakes in a way that makes the first one, like, irrelevant, like normally happens with movies and stuff like that. Or you take, like, the second route that was, like, the pre-planned route, where it makes the first one more important, and by doing that, it raises the stakes to make it more interesting.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And so, I feel like in the first season, the curtain isn't, like, all the way pulled back, so you don't see everything. And then with the second season, it gets pulled just a little bit more, so that we can see what's kind of going on in the whole spectrum of things. Which I thought was an awesome way of going about it, and makes the sequel seem relevant and important, opposed to in the first movie pulling the curtain all the way back and then trying to just pull the curtain even more, but there's nothing to be seen beyond.
Right, you have to like artificially create story, which I feel like happened with Harry Potter, at least with like the continuation stuff. What J.K. Rowling has done is like she's trying to create more story when there just really wasn't anything there. So, like, you have to just artificially fill in stuff. Which I guess happened with the prequels a bit, too, if you think about it. Like, we knew about the Clone Wars and everything, but then he tried to add a bunch of weird stuff in there that, like, you wouldn't have expected, but also completely changes how you view what they talk about in terms of the Clone Wars and like the original movies. So I don't know. It's like,
no, that makes
sense. When you don't plan out a sequel or a prequel or any sort of continuation, it always just ruins it. But
yeah, and I think the thing with the characters is that I think a character can, there's, I, for me personally, I don't think that there can be an end to a character's development as long as they're living. because that's kind of how life is, where you go through and you're always kind of learning, I guess, or at least you should be, and perceiving things and understanding things and growing in some way. And so that's why I think with characters in any scenario, even if it's a good or bad sequel, the character is always somehow changing or growing, even if it's just slightly. But the problem is, if the character doesn't have a good story or a good meaning to go by and grow with, then it's pointless and you end up not liking the sequel. But once again, that isn't the case with this, which made me enjoy it even more, I guess. There was probably one episode that I felt like they just kind of, I don't know, not went off the rails, but it was kind of like, partly it was pointless. So I don't know if you're ever going to watch it, and part of me doesn't want to spoil it to you, but this is...
I think I will watch it.
So far. Okay, this isn't that big of a spoiler so far, I guess. I don't think so. I wouldn't mind exactly if it were told to me. I don't know. Do you want me to tell you? Because I kind of want to get into this.
Fine, yeah.
Basically, there's 11, right? And turns out there's another, like, girl with powers, I guess. And... she's 8, I guess, or something like that. And so there's an episode where 11 finds her and they, like, go on, like, this spree of just getting their vengeance or something like that, I guess. But of course 11 is redeemable and comes out of it and feels bad or whatever and then goes back to her, the main story. That's where I felt like things seemed a little bit irrelevant, because in the beginning of the show they showed you this clip of 8 having her powers and stuff and how cool that was, and like, oh, I wonder what this is gonna mean. But it really wasn't connected with much with the story. Sure, it was a key element in the character 11's growth, but it still felt like for her to have a whole episode of her just going off and meeting this other character and then coming back to the story was a little bit weird, especially with the pacing,
just like a filler episode
changed. Exactly. And I mean, I think it's probably going to lead to something, I feel like, in the third season. It still could be, like, its own thing. And it still could be a standalone. But I feel like that's one of their more obvious ways of trying to say, like, oh, if we end up doing a third season, we'll probably do something more with that. And you could kind of sense that in a more obvious ways. They do it so many more times, but not in an obvious way. And you can't even tell. And you might as well just be like, no, this is a standalone. But they could if they wanted to. So,
okay, yeah. So, like, they possibly set it up for, like, in a future season to have more to go on there, but, like, for now, it just seems like a filler.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know if that's entirely a bad thing or entirely a good thing.
I think it's annoying, personally, because
yeah,
that's what they're trying to do with Rebels, and, like, it doesn't matter. It was still a really boring filler episode. Even if you try to bring those introduced characters back later... Like, that doesn't mean it wasn't a filler episode. For that season, it still messed the season up, kind of, for me.
Yeah.
Like, they should make it make sense within the season, at least. Like, it wouldn't be a filler episode if the next episode something happened with that. Or the episode after. But it's a filler episode if, you know, you just leave it for a year or two. And then come back to it and be like, uh-huh. See, we thought about this the whole time. Like, it's, you haven't planned that far out usually, so.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess there could be an argument that's like, well, this is key for the character's growth, and we hadn't seen a lot of 11 throughout the season. I mean, we did see her, and she did have some good moments, but we didn't see her doing things in an action, and this was like the first real episode seeing her do stuff. And so in that sense, I think it was supposed to try to kind of fill that need that we wanted all season long,
right?
So
like if it's not like a boring episode, then I guess it's fine.
I had mixed reactions, let's just say. It was, part of me was like, is this what they're trying to do? They're just trying to secretly set something up, but that can also be considered a standalone thing because it wasn't really that key component of the plot, I guess. Or are they just trying to give 11 more screen time so that we can have that fulfilling feeling when we finish the season that she wasn't barely in it or something like that? I don't know. Yeah. So those are just the possibilities. But overall, I think it was a huge success. I was really impressed while watching it, and it made me love the whole series itself because I wasn't the type of person that was huge for Stranger Things. like, I watched the first season and I'm like, oh, this is pretty good, I guess. I mean, of course, I thought it was a little overrated because, you know, people with 80s nostalgia and all that stuff, of course, it's going to be like a huge thing. And so I was really cautious when watching the first season, and even same for the second season, but I was still blown away and I still really liked it. So it was just good storytelling.
Cool.
So, and that's what I like. Yeah. Anyways, I think we can move on now. I've said my piece.
All right. Yeah, so. I'll add it into something cohesive because I feel like I messed it up a little bit. Okay, right. So moving on, I guess I should talk about Super Mario Odyssey, which I did get a Switch for.
Ooh.
It's okay. Like, I'm surprised that that's my reaction to it. I haven't found myself, like, really wanting to play it a lot. Surprisingly.
Okay.
Like, I bought a system for it, but that's not the thing that I just want to keep going back into and playing. Maybe I just haven't gotten far enough into it. It's really cool, and there's a lot of interesting platforming elements and whatever, but something about it just kind of annoys me, and I guess that's just the controls. There's a lot of unique things that you can do, but you can't play it every way that you'd play a Switch. And I've heard other people say that. Well, I guess I've heard, like, one review of the game because I didn't really want to spoil myself too much. And, like, the only thing I heard is just, like, yeah, controls are weird. And that seemed to really match with the only thing that I really had a problem with in this game. And you just... So, the thing about a Switch is that you can use it as, like, the tablet mode, or you can use it with a separate Joy-Con, or in the controller, like a Pro Controller plugged into your TV. All those different ways should work, but unless you're using the separate Joy-Con, nothing works, really. Like, you can't do everything that you could in the game. So, there are some controls that, like, spin the hat around you and stuff like that, and those are purely motion controls. So if you're in tablet mode, you're shaking your whole Switch all over the place, and then you can't see, because they're trying to spin the hat around you, and then if you do it wrong, you know, you're just... It's stupid, and there's no control... Like, you can't just press a button and have that happen, even though they very well could have programmed that in there, because some buttons are actually, like, don't have a function. So, that's really dumb, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Stuff like that that just made it really difficult to play, and that kind of sucks, because it's a cool game, and it's got this great story, as far as a Mario game goes, that... seems to be, like, sort of more cinematic. I like all the cutscenes and stuff like that. And the worlds are interesting, but it's not... I don't know. It doesn't live up to some of my favorite Mario games. Like, it's not GameCube-level, like, Paper Mario-style story. It's just not... It's not as good as the best Mario games, in my opinion. And
yeah, so it's good, but not
great. It's good, but yeah, there are just things that are holding it back, even from working with the console. Which is weird to me because Nintendo is not known to make something that doesn't work, right? Like, people still play Super Smash Bros. With the GameCube controller because it was so perfectly designed for that game, you know? And now here we see a game that doesn't work
That's
on the only system it's on. Like, it doesn't fully work, which is, it's just weird. Yeah, like, if I were to actually rate it, I having not played even close to like a quarter of the game, I've probably gotten in like an eighth of the way in or something like that. I've definitely put hours into it, but I guess as far as my first impressions go, it's like, you know, I'd give it like a 10 out of 16 or a 13 or something like that. It's out of 18 even. I guess I'd give it like a 13 out of 18. It's just, it's really, it's good, it's fine, but it's not really engrossing me. And that might just partially be because I've been absolutely addicted to another game on the Switch. I've really been playing this, like, this little indie game called Golf Story. It's like a top-down, like a classic golf game, but it's basically become an RPG. You're upgrading, you're talking to people. It's like, it's actually a pretty involved story. There's a lot of wandering around, side quests, and I've, yeah, I've never just been so into a game as I am with that one. So that's probably holding me back from really getting into Super Mario Odyssey. But yeah, Golf Story is an 18 out of 18. I'll see where I finally land on Odyssey if I ever finish Golf Story enough to get into it. But it's just a bit annoying at first because it seems like a really cool game. But if you can't really play it the way you want to play it, that can really get on your nerves, I guess. That's pretty much all I have to say about it.
That's all you have to
say? I guess so.
Well, that's underwhelming, I guess.
Surprisingly so. I mean, there are so many other good games on the Switch. Like, I got Splatoon 2, I have Breath of the Wild, and all that stuff. So, yeah. And Splatoon is... I guess it's a similar thing, where there are some ways you just can't play that game. But the only way you can't play it is with the separated Joy-Con. Because the way the gyroscope works to, like, aim works with one controller, I think. Or, like, both. And it gets really confusing to figure out how to aim if, like, you have two separate Joy-Con in different directions. And that can be hard. But if you use the grip, if you use a pro controller, if you use the tablet, it all works fine. I think my preferred way is playing with the grip. And I've really enjoyed that game. I think it's super fun. And I haven't ran That's into good. A time when Salmon Mode, like Salmon Run, which is, like, sort of the survival mode version of the game. I haven't run into a time where that's not been available. I heard that was a thing. Maybe they just patched it or something. But yeah, it seems like it's not really a problem to play, and everything about that game is really fun to me. So cool. Yeah, Mario Odyssey is maybe, other than Sonic Mania, is probably my least favorite game that I have on the Switch, surprisingly.
Okay.
It's fun. It's just I haven't gotten into it yet, I guess.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, I guess that's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I really don't want to have to play it constantly, like, on the TV, you know? I want to be able to just play it in tablet mode, and that can be really difficult to do. I mean, you could still play the game, for the most part, if you're doing it in tablet mode, but you need to shake the Joy-Con to do a homing hat throw if your aim is off, or to hit multiple enemies.
Yeah, that must be really weird.
Yeah, and it's quite often that your aim is off in that game. So it can be really annoying if you're platforming and it's super difficult, but you need to throw your hat onto something, but then you just can't because you are spun the other way and you can't use a homing attack because you're in a tablet mode or whatever. But maybe they'll, like, patch that. Yeah. That doesn't sound very Nintendo for them to patch it, but maybe they will.
I mean, it doesn't sound very Nintendo for them to be making these mistakes.
Well, yeah, that too. Like, it doesn't... I guess Nintendo does like to force you to play the way that they designed the game to be, but they also seem to design the games around their systems, so it's kind of at odds there. I don't think they will change it. I think that would be a good thing to do, maybe, if you could do, like, a homing attack by pressing, you know, the right bumper or whatever. That would be cool, but... I don't know.
Yeah, that seems a little bit weird, but...
Yeah, so otherwise, Voltron Season 4 came out, and I didn't do a review for that. But I will now.
Alright, well then, go ahead.
It's real good.
It's real good.
It's only got 6 episodes, so it's like the smallest season of anything I've ever heard of, I guess.
But didn't the, I felt like the Season 3 came out pretty recently.
Season 3 came out, like, a few months ago. It's surprising, like, how fast they're putting them out. And that one was, like, 8 episodes.
Okay, I guess they're just trying to, like...
I don't know, but they're only doing 5 seasons. So I kind of wish they'd make more episodes in a season.
Oh. Yeah, because I thought I heard something about, like, another movie company wanting to use the Voltron rights or something about that. So maybe Netflix is just trying to, like, get it done.
Maybe, yeah. I mean, that would stink if they rushed it so they could make a movie, but... That's the thing, is that Season 3 sort of ran into issues with pacing because it was too short and it seemed too rushed. Some of the animation looked worse. Season 4 didn't have those problems. Like, at all.
Yeah, probably because it was so... I mean, I guess it's only a 2-episode difference.
Right,
so
but they didn't feel rushed at all. I mean, I guess they didn't animate everything. So they, I guess that studio often uses things where, you know, it's just panning over a drawing, basically, you know, that kind of shot that they use in animations usually. They use that a lot more in this season, but I only noticed that because I was trying to look for, like, to see signs of it being rushed. I wouldn't have noticed that otherwise. It fit really well, and it was well cut, and there wasn't really any issues with the actual production quality. I'd say that's 18 out of 18. Yeah, just the way that the acting went and all that stuff was good too. The in terms of the plot, there were like no pacing issues at all, which was surprising for a 6-episode season where a lot's supposed to happen. It worked really well for me this time. It didn't work so well in season 3, but season 4 is a marked improvement, and it was great. They're going like way off the rails with it, because season 1 and season 2 seem to be like, we're getting to a point of like making our own story, and then season 3 went back to like, okay, we're gonna make it like the original in like a way that you wouldn't expect. And then season 4 is like, nah, psych, and they just changed everything again almost instantly, and yeah, all the characters ended up in completely different places than I would have expected them to be. It was insane, and I'm wondering what they're gonna do with season 5. I hope that one they make a longer season.
Yeah, just to end it.
Right, because they're only making 5 seasons, and I think there's so much that they have to do to end it. Because it seems like it almost feels like they've set up half of the story now, and it's I just need the other half of the story. So a 30 episode season would even be right. For how much there is that they could cover.
Of course, a 30 episode.
I mean, that's the thing, is some shows really deserve to have less episodes. But this show, it would work with more episodes, I think. They've just set up a lot that's crazy. I don't want to go spoilers into it because you haven't seen it. But yeah, 18 out of 18 all across the board. There was a filler episode though. And that in a 6-episode season is a big deal.
That's 1/6 of the season.
Right. It's a large portion of it that's just filler. I guess there was like some use to having that though, because what they were doing is it was like nothing really happened in the story, but outside of that story, what was happening in the show that they showed. Wow, that's a horrible sentence.
The show that they showed.
They showed what was happening outside of that episode. Inside of that episode, I guess, and they had recruited a bunch of other people to join their coalition, which is important to show. Oh my gosh, I need to stop saying show. It's important that they like tell, that they explain how that happened, because otherwise it wouldn't make any sense for them to just all of a sudden have a bunch of people supporting them and all this stuff. So I guess in that sense it was worth them having as an episode, but it was a little, I guess, lame. So, but it was still, you know, it's fine, whatever. I'd still give it an 18 out of 18. I really enjoyed it. It was much better than season 3.
And what would you give season 3?
I don't know, a 15 maybe.
Okay.
I don't remember what I gave it before, but that's what I'm thinking right now. Yeah. It's just the pacing was weird, and they, like, some really big, important character stuff they tried to fit into one episode that really should have taken the entire season to get over to.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, if they'd even spread it out to, like, 3 or 4 episodes for some of the stuff Keith went through, that would have been better, but they tried to cram it all into one episode, and it didn't work, so.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. I mean, that seems like a fair assessment. I should watch them.
When are you going to get around to that? I mean, you saw season 2, didn't you?
I saw season 2, and then I should just watch season 3 and 4. I mean, I'm on my, like, binge streak of the Netflix things, considering I watched season 2 of Stranger Things in, like, 2 days.
Right. Yeah, you should just do it. I mean, it's not that long. Like, it's, what, 14 episodes? That's like a season of anything.
Yeah, and the time of the episodes are like, what, 22 minutes?
Yeah, I mean, they're not that long, so.
Yeah, I could do it.
Go ahead. Go do it now.
Go ahead. Well, I'll just do it right now. We'll do a reaction.
All right, this will be a long episode. It will go for several more hours. This will be the longest episode yet. Okay, Daniel, pull up the first episode of season 3.
Pulling up the fourth episode of season 3.
Okay, I'll watch it with you here. I got it. Got it right here.
Oh, my word. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I can't believe that's happening.
Okay. It's called Changing of the Guard. 23 minutes. Oh, 23.
Ooh, I...
Okay, it's a bit much.
I was... How many minutes? I was like 2 minutes into it.
Oh, really?
Or a minute into it.
Okay, skip intro.
Oh my, he's in a ship and he's red.
Okay.
Oh, this is cool. It's red everywhere.
Space is red, apparently. He's in a red lion.
Apparently. Ooh, there's like a radar.
He's got a radar.
One of those radar folk.
Wait, are we actually going to do this?
No, we can't.
That would be amazing.
I was getting too comfortable, though. I was getting comfortable, I have to admit. Hey, maybe we will. Who knows?
Okay, I'll just stop recording, and we'll finish this episode.
Okay. All right. Thanks for listening.
That's the end of this episode.
Made it through.
It was short. It was not the best, but that's okay. I'll make it something good in editing. Maybe, possibly.
Yay! Thanks to our patrons, Noreen and Hunt the Gunther.
Uh-huh.
And then the mysterious one, I forget what we're calling.
He wishes to not be named or something like that.
He wishes to not be named. Thank you.
And then what else was there? Yeah, Twitter, Gosh Daniel Pod, Patreon.com/GoshDaniel. What else is there? Is that it?
That's it.
We're on Stitcher. If you're on iTunes,
we're
on Stitcher. We're on iTunes. Or wait, what?
Or maybe on YouTube.
We might be on YouTube. It depends on the month.
Depends on the month.
All right, so see ya. Oh, Karan's talking. I gotta go. Bye.
Oh gosh.
Hey, guys. Thanks for sticking around. Sorry the last few episodes have been on a weird schedule. And stuff, and they've been a bit shorter. We're going to try to do our previous schedule that we were doing. Possibly. I think that would work a lot better. We can maybe stick to longer episodes again. Off-put by book club episodes. But yeah, I forgot to mention, if you guys would like to, support the podcast in any way, I mean, Patreon's always an option, but if you don't have that, just give us like a 5-star review on iTunes, because people will actually be able to see our podcast, and that'll help us get more listeners, and kind of motivate us to, be more consistent and make longer episodes, and, it'll seem worth it to kind of improve the production quality and such. So, thanks, guys.